Episode 18 of Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee! I'm your co-host, Dee Dee, also known as Death's Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Enda, also known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
And together, you can find us at Black Girl Squee. That's all one word. BlackGirlSquee on Twitter. On Tumblr, we're blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can also find us if you search Black Girl Squee on iTunes. And please do, and feel free to rate and review the show. We also want to remind you of our spoiler policy, and that is that we spoil shit, especially now that How to Get Away with Murder is back, and it's getting really deep. So we're going to spoil the shit out of the last two episodes, so if you haven't seen it, pause this podcast and go watch, and then, you know, come back and listen to us later. Also, you should know that we cuss a lot and we talk about peeing. So, our most popular segment is called This Week in That Print. So, that should let you know where we're at.
Yeah.
Now that we've gotten all the warnings out of the way, I think that's most of them.
Yeah.
We finally got some feedback. Yay! You love us. You do care.
You're talking to
So we're going to get into feedback. Do you want to start with the first one or shall I?
Yeah, our first piece of feedback comes from me. She left us a rating on iTunes. Thank you.
Thank you.
She wrote, "I enjoy listening to this podcast so much. I love the topics, the squeeing, and the hashtag DWIDP segment. And
they
are great." And ends with a smiley face. So thank you, me.
Thank you. Our friend Carriage in SF left another 5-star review. Thanks so much. Entitled "So Much Squee" with like a jillion squee-es at the end. She says, "This lovely duet combines the resplendent voice of Dee Dee, god damn, and the silky smooth olive oil voice of Enda." Oh, she got both of us.
Yeah.
Yep. "The chemistry and friendship between the two hosts is so evident. I love hearing their squeeze. Double check your headphone volume just in case."
Yep.
Good point. "I also get a steady stream of books, music, and film recommendations on top of spoilers, spoilers, spoilers about any and all the things. But seriously, their updates on How to Get Away with Murder are glorious, but nothing compared to the hashtag DWIDP.
Yep.
And hashtag Squee Queens. Now complete with..."
It was just one sentence. "Now complete with visual guides. These women are so awesome. Please support their show." It was worth it.
Okay. Sorry about that, Carriage. But thank you very much for the reviews. We appreciate each and every one, and hopefully it your ratings will let more people find the show. So to me and KRH, we give a squeeze. We also got an email from KRH. So she says, I don't have cable, so I'm always 1 week behind. But Annalise and Nate cuddled up in his bed, all caps. Mm-hmm. And just showing off most of his body, all caps. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes. Praise hands. Yes. Yes, God. I just looked up the director's credit, and the director of this episode, called Something Bad Happened, appears to be a lighter-skinned-toned black woman. Zetna Fuentes is allowing the world to see as much of Billy Brown's ridiculously hot body as much as possible.
Yay.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm working on a cold, rainy day here in the Bay Area and just wanted to drop a line to you two. I hope both of you are doing well. We are. Thank you. Thank you so much for your discussion of this show on Black Girl Squee. I love watching Viola Davis as Annalise Keating. I love that it's canon that she's bisexual. Hey, yeah. And I love how much skill and brilliance Viola Davis has in her acting. I hope that she keeps taking all the roles and shouts out all the ways black girls are magic. We're going to talk about this later in the show, but she also mentions the news about the movie Hidden Figures. So, and says, I'm so excited to see Taraji, Octavia, and Janelle on screen doing all the things. Best wishes, KRH. So are we. So thank you for the lovely email, KRH. Yes, that was good stuff on how to get away with murder. But we'll talk about that in much, much more detail later in the show. So now, oh, that was fun. I love feedback.
Yes.
On Tumblr, we're Black Girl Squee. On Twitter, we're Black Girl Squee. On iTunes, just search Black Girl Squee. You know, and you'll find us. So now that we've gotten through the feedback, we will get to our squee-worthy news. So first up, we have got to talk about Ebony Magazine's Body Brigade issue.
Ooh.
Just Lord, loveliness. Just Lord, thickness Lord. And loveliness all up on my computer screen and magazine cover. And yes. Thank you.
So, that's all I can say.
Yeah, I could say other things, but you don't want to know.
I saw that and was like, holy hot damn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lady boner. Anyway, if you don't know anything about what the Body Brigade is, it's a cover story on Ebony Magazine's March 2016 issue that features musicians Chrisette Michelle and Jasmine Sullivan, actress Danielle Brooks, and plus-size blogger and swimwear designer Gabby Fresh. They're all plus-size, fat Black women, beautiful Black women, that agreed to be on the cover of the magazine and, you know, show off all that thickness and loveliness. And my life is richer for it. So if you have access to that magazine, or just Google Body Brigade, Ebony Magazine, so you can get your life to these beautiful pictures. But it's great to see a little bit of body diversity on the cover of a major magazine. like this. I don't, you know, I say a little bit of body diversity. I don't know if any of the ladies on the cover are above a size 20, but still, you know, you don't see women of their size ever on a cover.
Exactly. Unless it's like specifically a plus size magazine or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't recall ever seeing, you know, women, you know, with that, of that size or, you know, that body, you know, on the cover celebrating, you know, all of the, you know, being big women like that. And I mean, they're gorgeous. I mean, no, they're not the only, you know, big up or plus size, you know, type, you know, around, but I'm not mad at them.
Oh, I'm so not mad. I'm the opposite of not mad. I'm the opposite of mad. My girl Danielle is looking lovely. And Jasmine, Lord.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Lord.
Why does Jasmine keep slaying my life like this?
Just look at them legs.
Oh. She's so pretty.
Also, one word. Thighs.
Yes.
This week in them thighs. Oh, Jesus.
I have that anyway. Myself.
Huh?
She could have that segment all to herself if she wanted.
She owns that segment right now. She just, ooh. Yeah, girl. them guys say they talking to me. But I told you, sorry. this is when
it's that good. The cover shoot, the inside photos. Oh my God. I mean, they're behind the scenes video.
Yeah, it is bringing out the Kinsey Four in me in just in full force. So I probably should have said much more progressive things about this cover, but sorry.
I know,
Lady Boner.
I'm sorry, but they're eye candy.
Fine. So, yeah, please check this out.
I'll let you collect yourself for
Lord, that'll take all show. So to all the lovely ladies on this cover, in this cover story, to Ebony Magazine, we give a huge
okay.
Also, Jasmine, Danielle, call me.
Her number is, I'm kidding.
Basically, 202.
Okay, well.
I'll put it out there if y'all dial it up. I'll put it out there. A girl, take the next one.
Well. Excuse me. Speaking of lovely plus size ladies, mm-hmm. This week was the official launch of the Bad Fat Broads podcast. Yay!
Yay!
So, this is a podcast, Ariel, she goes by Kiddo True at on Twitter. And there's also
KC,
but I don't remember what her Twitter handle is. I'm so sorry about that. But they introduced, you know, their new podcast. They talk about their own identities, including, you know, their sexuality, their race, their gender, and all of this. And they cover current topics. They have some fun. They answer listener questions. And in this episode, they do give a trigger warning because they do have a brief discussion of eating disorders and weight loss surgery. So if that's a touchy thing with you, please be aware. And, but I don't think I have ever seen a podcast with this subject matter. Oh, wait, here or there.
Yeah, she goes by Femina on Twitter.
Yeah, and they can also be found at Bad Fat Broads on Twitter too, together. So this is a great introductory podcast. I'm so glad to hear a lot of the things that they touched on, And, you know, not afraid to talk about how their own identities affect how they perceive, you know, these things. And so definitely you need to talk about, you know, body issues and things like fat shaming and things like that. And especially coming from the point of view from someone who actually faces those marginalizations. So
yeah, and the way that they talk about the intersections of all their different identities and how it affects their perspective on body positivity, fat acceptance, and so on, is just very interesting. And they encourage everybody to look at their own identities and how they intersect in different ways and how it affects their thinking about fat people. And I also liked how Ariel mentioned sort of the lack of diversity of thought with regard to fat people that she finds on Black Twitter. So she's been a little disappointed about that, that it's not, you know, discussed as with as much nuance as other issues on Black Twitter. So it's just a great show, and I'm very excited that it's up and running. This was episode 1, but they also have an episode 0, which was sort of their test episode. If you want to check that out, it was also very thought-provoking as well. So to Ariel and Casey, we give a
congratulations, y'all.
Yeah, good job. Great job. So now we're gonna swerve a little bit and get into some controversy, I guess. Because, I mean, that's all that surrounds this woman.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But my esteemed co-host, Inda Lauren, wrote a great article on her blog, cornerstorepress.wordpress.com, about Azealia Banks and why she tests the limits of her Black girl love. So we gotta talk about it, girl.
Okay.
I read this and I was like, yeah, I see your point, but.
Yeah,
she's just tried it too many times.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like she just keeps fucking up. That's the hard thing about it. She keeps fucking up. And go ahead.
It's like when teenagers, you know, keep testing parents to like figure out where the boundaries are or whatever. But she's not a teenager, and you know, I don't know what she's trying to test. She's trying to test the boundaries of her audience, or push them away. Or I don't even know what she's trying to do anymore.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like I can understand, you know, because she is only like 24, excuse me, maybe 25, and I'm like, I know I definitely didn't have it all together at that age. You know, I was in grad school. I was very much, you know, still kind of hanging on to some threads of respectability. And so it's like in some ways I can understand how, you know, you might not have it all together. But it's like people have been telling her where she fucks up. And it's like I want her to get it through her head. Like, see, this is why this line of thinking or what you said or what you did is not okay. Because this is who, you know, this hurts. This is who, you know, this may potentially cause violence against. And you need to understand that the things that you say have consequences to them. You know, and this is kind of like, I want to sit down and be her auntie and tell her this. But it's like, oh. Because it's like still also with her being, you know, a dark-skinned, you know, openly bisexual woman, she gets the type of vitriol that is only reserved for, you know, that type of Black woman. And that's what I can't stand. That's kind of what I want to shield her from. Because she, I mean, still, she does not deserve that, you know. Which it's different, you know, to attack her as being a black woman than to call out the horrible things she does, you know.
So plenty of people give other artists a pass. I mean, right now, there are plenty of people giving Kanye a pass while they bump his new record.
Yes, exactly.
And he's 38.
Thank you. That's a grown ass man.
People separate the man from the artist when it comes to Miles Davis.
Exactly.
Some of them even try to do it with R. Kelly, even though his art is not.
No.
On the same level as even Miles Davis.
No.
Or even Kanye.
That's true. Fair.
Even with Azalea and with Lauryn Hill before her, which you've also written about.
Yeah.
They don't get as many chances, they don't get passes. Which is a point that you made in the article. So it's interesting to notice that pattern.
Yeah.
And it's important to interrogate it and you know, ask why this double standard.
Yes, exactly.
Even while, you know, some people just continue to say, I can't fuck with her.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, I mean, because personally, I can't fuck with Kanye on any level anymore. I don't want to hear the new album. I don't care.
Yep.
I can't fuck with him on any level.
Yep.
Because he hates me and women like me. So why should I even fuck with him on any level? He don't fuck with me. So, but other people are still growing and learning, and it may be possible to just, maybe in this case, maybe Azealia Banks is a case for separating the art from the artist, and just, 'cause the album was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the album. And it kind of broke boundaries. It was kind of a new lane for hip hop and for women in hip hop. So I feel like maybe this, in her case, I can appreciate that while not really wanting to fuck with her personally until she figures some shit out.
That point you just made about, you say Kanye hates me. I think what I'm reading more with Azealia, though, is she's not happy with herself. Maybe that's why I'm having such a hard time trying to say, just totally leave her alone out there. Because, I mean, black women, we have so much, we get so much in bullshit that we internalize it. Mm-hmm. And I just really kind of feel like she's internalized a whole lot and she doesn't know how to undo it, and she doesn't know how to express it. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I still just kind of want to hold on to her a bit and try to give her time. I think that's probably it. But as you said, for like, you know, even with like Kanye and with R. Kelly, they hate me. It's not them that they hate. I mean, I'm pretty sure they do. But they come from a position where they have a privilege where they can, where their hate actually harms me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, and they actually take it out. They take out that hatred on women of color. So just exactly. So they're it's particularly and you can throw Miles into that too. Yep. So
Miles in the worst way.
Mm-hmm. So Yeah, it's especially violent in their cases. Although, you know, the way that Azealia, you know, throws out these slurs and tries to fight people in airports, that's not cute, but
it just feels more like she's something about herself she doesn't like and she can't get out. That's what it feels like.
Well, you said that she's deleted her Twitter and which, you know, is a good thing because she's been that's been the site of some of her worst faux pas. We'll just say that. And you know, so maybe she'll take the time that she needs to kind of unpack some of that internalized misogyny and internalized self-hate, whatever you want to call it, and maybe she'll come back to us a different kind of Azealia. I look forward to that.
I really hope
But girl, don't volunteer to be her auntie. That looks like a world of headaches, girl.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't want that for you. She don't seem to listen to nobody. Yeah, but to Azealia, but mostly to Enda, we give a squeeze. Okay. You gotta squeeze yourself, girl.
Squeeze myself.
Yes.
That sounds
bad.
Go squeeze yourself now.
No. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Just take. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Completely different. All right. On to the next.
Okay. So, our next item.
Moving on.
Is Squeeworthy News. Yeah, it's music. If you enjoy heavy metal, you must check out Oceans of Slumber new album. It's called Winter. And it is awesome. It is so awesome. Oceans of Slumber started, they actually didn't have their current lead singer, Cammy Gilbert, for like their first couple of works. And so their new album, Winter, is a change of direction for them. So they feel more like prog, progressive heavy metal. And I can tell you, Cammy Gilbert, not only is she gorgeous, but she has a great voice. And this album, they cover like a Nice and White Satin, and there are some really awesome songs like Winter, Suffer the Bridge, and This Road. I mean, it's like if you like heavy metal, but you know, still kind of a bit of softness to it, this is your album. You need to check it out. I mean, even just to support Cammy Gilbert alone, because if she will capture you, because I cannot say enough about how great her voice is and just how much she works with this band. So they even said they knew they'll probably alienate some of their earlier fans, but you know, this was the direction they decided to move in. And so, yeah. Oh, my middle hands. Yeah.
Okay. So might we hear some tracks on the next Black Swan Collective?
Probably. I have to decide which one I want to go with, though. Because I'm actually still kind of hung up on an earlier EP they did, Blue. And they covered Led Zeppelin's Kashmir. And I can't even tell you what that does to me.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
Even on our R-rated ass show.
Even on our R-rated ass show, we don't even want to discuss.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about what that does to me. But
oh wow. Okay.
Go listen to it on Spotify. And they're earlier in that EP I mentioned, Blue, it's also available on Bandcamp. So definitely go check them out.
Okay, their Bandcamp is called oceansofslumber.bandcamp.com. So check them out. And to Cammie Gilbert and Oceans of Slumber, we give a scream. and tech-related news and security-related news, the issue of safety on the internet is a big one for Black women, especially on social media sites like Twitter, Facebook, even on their own blogs and websites. Black women get a lot of hate and violence. So the new Showtime docuseries called Darknet talks about issues like that. And in one episode, they talk to Mickey Kendall and Jamie Nesbitt Golden, who are known on the Twitters as Carnithia and The Way of the Id, respectively. The website foxyjezebel.net talked to Jamie Nesbitt Golden about the show. And she told them that it sort of looks at a few days in the lives of Mickey and Jasmine and Jamie. She said that the Showtime crews were at their houses for about 4 days. So it's weird to, you know, have them all up in your home and around your family. And like she said, her baby son was, you know, running around, you know, with all these camera people around them. She said she got an email from Showtime last August. And then a couple of weeks later, they showed up with a camera crew. So it kind of happened rather quickly. She said also that it was, they were around for like 8 hours a day.
Wow.
So just to get this footage for the show. So, if you have Showtime, check out the show Darknet, and check out, Mickey and Jamie's, episode. Yeah. I believe it's episode 7.
Yeah, it's called Provoke. And I found it through my own means. I won't talk about that. Mm-hmm. But but it is.
I mean, the show is called Darknet.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's very compelling. It's very compelling. You know, you get to see it, and they talk about the types of harassment, and how the ways that they try to avoid it and combat it. So they've developed a bot, the Porsche bot, that will engage their trolls for them, so they never have to see them, things like that. So yeah, definitely you want to see this one. And they talk about this there's also other segments included in it that are equally as good, you know, equally as important, but you definitely want to show them some support and find out if you don't understand how very visible Black women have to deal with harassment and trolls on the net, this is definitely where you want to go and look.
I mean, at one point, there were several prominent Black women on Twitter that would change their avies from pictures of themselves to just pictures of white dudes.
Yeah.
Just to see if it would alleviate some of the harassment.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well it worked, but
actually,
you know, but just,
yeah, Jamie said it completely changed the way people engaged with her. So yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll never be unlocking my Twitter anytime soon. So,
yeah.
Anyway, and I don't even use pictures of myself in my app.
Yeah.
So, to Mickey and Jamie, we give a big
squeeze. Okay. All right. Now, on to some more badass black women. We talked before about Taraji P. Henson and Octavia starring in the film Hidden Figures. Well, now we have added Janelle Monáe as the third in that trio. Yay! And they will play the three black women mathematicians who helped NASA win the space race. And so it's called a period space race drama inspired by the real life tale of a group of African American female mathematicians. They were Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson, and Katherine Johnson. And they're the ones who helped put John Glenn into orbit. Wow, I had never knew this.
How did we not know this for so long?
This is my first time hearing about this ever. This is my first time hearing their names.
No idea. And history ain't doing us right.
Mm-mm. No. So
we know that Katherine Johnson will be played by Taraji P. Henson, but we don't know yet who will play Dorothy or Mary. Well, we don't know whether Octavia will play Dorothy or Mary or the other way around.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see all of these nerdy black women.
I'm so excited to see nerdy black women playing real life black women. I mean, wow. And this is their film. They're not off to the side. No. Mm-mm. They're leading the film.
So exciting.
I know.
This is gonna be really good.
Yes.
And I just wanna see behind the scenes stuff now.
I know.
With Taraji and Octavia and Janelle. That's gonna be so fun.
Yay.
Cause you know Taraji loves her some black girls, so
oh, yeah.
This is just gonna be awesome. Our patron saint.
Yeah.
She gonna be so happy.
Yeah.
So to all of them we give a big That was really loud. That was a laugh. No, that was a big one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm really excited about this one. Antonia Thomas, who you may know from Misfits, was she on Merlin? I'm not sure. But she was definitely on Misfits that I remember.
And she was also in an episode of Musketeers.
Okay. She is set to star in an ABC pilot for the show Spark, which is set in an alternate steampunk reality.
Ooh, yes.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but this is something that I've needed in my life for a long time. Black steampunk.
Oh yeah.
I'm so here, present, and ready for this. Give it to me now. I'm ready. Black steampunk, I need this in my life like breathing.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm deeply excited for this. Yeah, I can't wait for this to be in my eyeballs. So Antonia Thomas and the rest of the show, Spark, we give a
squee!
So we move through our squee-worthy news. So now it is time for Birdman Hand Rub.
Yes.
How to Get Away with Murder recaps. So we're going to talk about the last two episodes that aired, which are 213, Something Bad Happened, and 214, There's My Baby.
Oh, wow.
So, damn. I was rewatching these right before. Mm-hmm. We recorded, and there's a lot of shit in these two episodes.
Yeah.
There's just a lot.
Oh my God.
Why is there always a lot? So I may forget some of this stuff. So just help me out here, girl. So in 213, something bad happened. One of the main things that happened is that Annalise gets immunity for her and the Keating Five for the night of Emily Sinclair's death, because they keep getting these videos from Philip that show that he was somewhere around watching them the night that Emily Sinclair died, and that, which is also the night that Annalise got shot at the Hapstall mansion. So, Philip's been sending these videos to Connor on his computer via email. So Annalise takes Connor's computer and takes it to the new ADA, whose name is Todd Denver, which is the whitest name for a Latino man I have ever heard. She gives the computer to Denver and says, if you want what's on this computer, you need to give me and the kids immunity, blanket immunity, for the night of Emily Sinclair's death. Which is something that Denver really doesn't want to do because he doesn't trust them motherfuckers. And he wants to find out what happened to Emily Sinclair.
Yeah.
So he lies and basically says, you know, sure, we'll give you immunity. But meanwhile, he's trying to set up a raid on her house while she's out. So, you know, Bonnie tips her off.
Yeah.
And she, and they basically get a plan in motion to, you know, she sets a plan in motion while she's in there talking to, Denver. So, it basically, the judge hadn't signed the warrant before the cops came into the house to raid.
Yeah, didn't she, like, stall it some sort of way? And
Yeah, she made Connor call somebody and say that the judge had signed it when he really hadn't. So the cops came in without a signed warrant, and which means this was an illegal search. And anything they found becomes, quote-unquote, fruit of the poisonous tree. Whatever that means. I'm not a law major. So Denver tried to double cross her, but you know, Atlanta, Annalise ain't having that. So he finally gives her immunity and she gives him the computer and she thinks that's that. Meanwhile, you know, everybody's still scared because Philip's still on the loose. Nobody's found him. So they're all like sleeping over at, Connor's house.
Yeah.
Connor and Oliver's apartment, rather.
Yeah. Oliver's like, didn't we just get rid of Asher?
Yeah. Now they got three or four more people.
Exactly. Oh.
But Wes is just freelancing. He's talking to everybody, but the folks at the Keating house, he's talking to his therapist, trying to piece together what he remembers about, you know, the events prior to his mother's death, to what he, you know, piecing it together to what he's read about the case. And, you know, everything, you know, stuff isn't really adding up for him because he can't really tell the therapist everything, because that will incriminate himself. Mm-hmm. Wes also snoops in Annalise's house, which is quite easy because nobody ever locks the fucking door.
I know. I'm like, why is your door always unlocked?
Still.
I mean,
we're gonna.
Oh Lord.
We just gonna be talking about this for the rest of the show, I guess, because they're never gonna lock the fucking door. So Wes easily gets back into the house and starts to snooping, while Annalise is getting some booty over at Nate's. Mm-hmm. and so he finds the piece of paper that Laurel stole last week that listed him as the main suspect. How do you list a 12-year-old as a suspect in your mind? Anyway, whatever. That's some bad police work. But so then we go to the flashback. And this flashback was a lot because
yes.
We see how Annalise drags Eve into this mess and gets Eve to pose as an immigration lawyer who pulls Rose in and threatens to deport her if she doesn't, you know, testify. Yeah. But Rose says whatever she can to get out and tries to run away. But Christoph wants to stay. And they end up coming back to the house, and Annalise finds Rose. And Rose kind of loses it. She starts saying a whole bunch of things about how Wallace Mahoney doesn't own her. He doesn't own Christoph, and, you know, she was born free. She will live free. And then she tells Annalise to take care of her boy and stabs herself in the goddamn neck.
I mean, wow.
I was not ready for that. I was not expecting that.
No.
I mean, I've said it before. That's not usually the way women commit suicide. I'm just saying. That's a lot.
I mean, and she went for her neck.
She went for the jugular, so she would bleed out. I mean, that's a horrible way to... Anyway.
Yeah. That's
a horrible way to die.
Yeah. And that's when Annalise runs, but
waddles.
Yeah, she waddles because she's very, in case you didn't remember, she's very pregnant, like out to
hell
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she sees Christoph coming back, and so she hides and lets him go into the apartment where he finds his mom lying on the floor, bleeding and dead. But
so sad.
Yeah, and it's like he kind of, it feels like he kind of shuts down a bit because his reaction, because first he panics, but then it's like he kind of goes into survival mode or something like that. He's the one who calls 911, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he calls 911.
Because he's the one that says the title of the episode.
Yeah, he says something bad.
Something bad.
His voice is so flat and even when he says it. And
you notice that's the same way he is when he's with the police officer. In the interrogation room.
Yeah, it's like he...
Yeah, he has no affect whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering about with him. I'm like, he just kind of zoned out of everything, and it's like he went into this different automatic mode. And I don't know exactly where that comes from with him. But anyway, for some reason, he also took the knife out of his mom's neck. That's why he's standing over her, you know, with the bloody knife in his hand. And he just, it's like there's something about him that's not there in that moment. You know, so that's kind of, I'm wondering about that with him now. Because there's something going on with him. Like, I don't know, maybe that particular trauma just kicked in and, you know, there's something with it. I don't know. Wes is a mystery. Wes is still a mystery to me.
But I mean, think about it. His mom was all he had in the world.
Yeah. He doesn't know his father.
He didn't know his dad. He thought his dad was dead.
Yeah.
he's in this new country that, you know, his mom was his lifeline. And for him to lose that so violently.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably shut down too.
Yeah.
He was probably scared out of his mind.
Yeah.
And I mean, for some people, you know, shutting down is how they cope.
Yeah. Thing is, I'm wondering, is that like the first time he's ever had to shut down like that? Or is that like, or was it that particular trauma that triggered it?
I don't know.
Mm.
I mean, he said he was born in Haiti, right?
I think so. I mean, his mom is.
But if he's, no.
Well, he might not
if
have been. No,
if he is, well, yeah.
No, because the next episode, oh, he couldn't have been. He had to be born in the States.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd heard a lot of stories about his mom in Haiti.
Or maybe he did say it, but he knew he was lying about it because he's still trying to cover up that part of his past. Because didn't he tell that to Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was probably lying to her because he's trying to cover up, or maybe he did kind of like concoct this story in his head because remember he doesn't have any memory because remember his memories had to come back of when he found his mom. So yeah,
this mess. Anyway, so back in the present. Annalise goes to Wes's apartment to talk to him about the case, but he's already gone up to New York to talk to Eve because he don't trust Annalise. But she finds Philip at Wes's apartment instead, and they start tussling.
Yeah.
And not in a fun way.
No.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, because Annalise figures out. So she does see somebody, like, because she left a note under the door, and somebody picks up the note, and she thinks it's Wes. That's why she goes into the apartment, but then Eve calls her, and it's like, Wes is here, like, ooh, call 911, somebody is in his apartment, and then Philip jumps out, and it's kind of a scary scene.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I know, I started yelling and cussing. And that wasn't the first. Lord, this next episode. God,
oh
damn.
Oh my God, this next episode. Like, what are you trying to do to me?
This show is trying to kill me.
It is. It's just trying to snatch all my feels and just punch me in the face with them. Like,
what she said.
Yeah.
So, 2:14, there's my baby. Which could be taken a lot of ways, but it is a quote that somebody says at the end of the episode. We'll get there. Anyway, it starts where the last episode ended. Annalise is still in Wes's apartment struggling with Philip. She finally manages to push him away and run out of the apartment. Eve gets Wes to call a 911 and tell him to go to his apartment. And then she drives down from New York with Wes to see about Annalise. Because she still loves Annalise.
Yeah, she does.
She ain't never going to stop loving Annalise.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for her, too. Because she just, like you said, she just loves this woman. And it doesn't like it to work out. I mean, if it does, that's great. But I don't like to see people going with unrequited like that, you know. And the other person knows. You know, Annalise knows how.
But Annalise knows she ain't strictly dickly. She trying to act like it, but she ain't. She ain't strictly.
Wait, was this
Nate is great.
I
think it was the previous episode where she tries she fights with Eve and, you know, tries to say, "Oh,
she's
I'm straight.
Gay.
I'm straight."
You know, like, Eve's like, well, I am. I mean,
and you're something.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm glad that they show her kind of going through that process and all, but I just kind of don't like that it's not going to end well for Eve because Eve has not done anything wrong. You know, Eve is pretty much the only person I've seen that, well, besides Nate, who's totally kind of innocent. Well, Well, she goes with Annalise, goes along with Annalise to pressure Wes's mom. But
I mean, they've done dirt, but they hadn't caught bodies for it
yet.
Yeah,
exactly.
That I know of.
Yeah. And Eve is doing what she does because she loves Annalise, you know.
And Annalise still cares for Eve. Yeah. She needs to stop fronting like she's all about the dick. She's not.
Yeah.
Or else she wouldn't have got it on with Eve when she came back. Yep. Twice.
Yeah, she still got feelings for her.
So.
Sidetrack.
Yeah, I'm just saying, be real with yourself, anime. Yeah.
Anime.
Yeah. Taking it all the way back.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while Eve and Nate are kind of fighting over how to take care of Annalise, Michaela announces that Caleb has gone missing. And she blames Annalise, of course, and herself for not telling Caleb that Philip was back. Then ADA Denver calls and asks to interview everybody that was in the video of the mansion that Philip took. So they all go down to the courthouse and get snarky with ADA Denver. And it's, you know, pretty funny scene because they all have their different ways of talking back to him and just basically getting the best of him.
Yeah. I was actually kind of
so they come back.
I was actually kind of proud of them for that.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah. You know, Denver still knows that they done some dirt. He don't trust any of them. So they all come back to the Keating house. Probably just walk through the door because, again, it's probably not locked. Frank sneaks Annalise a bottle of vodka, which he proceeds to drink straight.
Yeah.
This woman is a hard drinking woman, and after the end of this episode, I realize why.
Yeah, oh.
This woman has been through a lot. I'd probably be drinking vodka straight too if I could. That stuff probably burns like shit. Mm. She's probably burnt her insides out.
Yeah.
She drank that whole bottle, girl. No ice, no nothing. Sorry. It's like that sometimes, I guess. So she gets drunk and proceeds to kick everybody out of her house. Except Wes.
Yeah.
So I was just when you were thinking, oh, this is gonna be when they fuck. No.
I know. I was like, oh wait, she finally finna go.
Birdman hair, bro.
She finally finna go turn him to a puppy, to a bulldog. Okay, please. But no.
At Enda's corner. That is at Enda's corner.
It didn't happen that way anyway, so.
So she kicks everybody out so she can have a talk with Wes. The kids go to a club where Oliver tells Connor that he quit his job last week and he wants to try to go work for Annalise.
Oh no, Oliver.
Oh God.
No, Oliver.
And then just the nadir of this episode happened.
Okay.
For those of y'all that didn't like Wes and Laurel kissing, Pete Nowak tried, you know, he just doubled down on the grossness and had Asher and Michaela get busy in the club bathroom. And it's as terrible as you think it sounds.
Okay, I'm not saying that it's not terrible, but later I will tell you why I'm not totally opposed to this. I mean, it's a mismatch for sure, but there is a reason. I'm just kind of cackling about it. And that'll be later.
Okay, girl.
But I'm going to tell you this, though. I did not see that coming because I don't know where the fuck that came from or how that could
have happened. Nobody saw that coming.
Because I just... These two hardly... They barely even talk to each other. They barely connect and all. And I don't know what the fuck was going on besides they were... Well, Michaela was clearly drunk. She was clearly drunk. I mean, she's out in the club dancing all against the wall and wobbling around. Asher, he'd been drinking too. But it's like, that is the only reason I can even think that it could have possibly happened between the two of them. They were drunk as hell.
But when they're sober, Michaela is disgusted by Asher.
Yes, she is.
So why would you ever want to let him put things inside you? Anyway,
I guess they want to give Michaela her sex life because, hey, I didn't want it to happen this way, but I don't know. Maybe it, I don't know, but they're not going to remember it in a way. They're not going to remember the whole actual details about it. They'll remember they slept together, but they're not going to remember how it was.
But I will because I had to watch it.
You were sober.
I'm forever scarred. Pete Nowak, why do you hate Michaela? Hello? Shonda Rhimes, come on. Why you gotta do my girl like this? Why? Why you let Asher put his dirty paws all over my beautiful Michaela? Oh, God, I want to throw up.
Well, I guess he was the next best thing because she don't know where Caleb is. I don't know.
No, he's not. He's not.
He was because he was the one standing in front of her.
No. There had to be some random stranger in that club. That was 10 times better than Asher. I'm sorry. This is going to bug me. No, you got to do right by my girl. And they only got one episode left.
I don't know. Maybe they were, because you said, why do they hate Michaela? Maybe they were trying to give Asher something finally. Because he definitely was the winner on this, he's definitely the winner on this one because Michaela can do better. Asher is like, I just kind of want to smash his face and slap him repeatedly and not in a good way. I need him to chill. I need him to chill the fuck out. And I mean,
oh my God, I'm just so disgusted.
But we'll talk about this again in a minute. So let's.
Oh, great. Anyway. In the flashback, Annalise tells Mahoney about her suspicions of why Rose was so terrified of him. And he fires her, takes her off the case. And she's like, good, so I can report you to some higher ups and get your ass in trouble. But somebody's had something for her because she's on the phone, setting up an appointment to, report him when somebody crashes into her car. And that's when I screamed out loud watching this show. I was not expecting that. But she goes to the hospital, and it's just a heartbreaking sequence she loses the baby.
Yeah. And
they actually have her hold the baby.
They let her hold her dead baby.
And take a picture.
She takes
I don't get that. I don't get how people think that's
family
better.
Picture with Sam. And she's banged up.
Dead baby.
She's banged up, you know, after her accident. You know, her face is swollen and cut and bleeding. And they hand her a dead baby and then come in. Would you like to take a picture? Some people think this makes it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, really?
Yeah,
please tell me you've made this shit up for the show and they don't actually do this.
I just feel like they made it up. I feel like they made it up. I don't know.
They can't.
But it's just something to just twist the knife a little bit harder.
Yeah.
In the audience's gut.
I was just sitting there looking at, this is terrible. This is so terrible. She wanted that baby and then they let her hold the dead baby. And oh my God.
And didn't that make you think of the first episode back where she's, you know, hallucinating and holding a baby in her arms?
Yeah.
That was the baby.
Oh, man.
She was thinking about that baby.
She was thinking about that baby, and she's thinking about that baby surviving its infancy because the baby she's holding looks to be maybe probably, you know, 7-8 months old, you know.
Mm-hmm. That was a big old baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this was her newborn, and didn't survive. And I'm like, wow. Made her hold that baby and then took a picture of them like, oh my God, what in the... No, that was horrifying.
So that was just heartbreaking.
It was.
That was terrible. And Eve's waiting outside, dying to know anything, dying to know if Annalise is okay, but she's not quote unquote family, so she doesn't get any details.
Yeah.
So she's feeling like a lot of gay people that get discriminated against when their loved ones are in the hospital.
That's a good point. But she does finally introduce herself to Sam when he's out, and you know he tells her everything. But mm-hmm. you know he's like, she tells him that she works with her on the case, and so he was like, just tell them that she's off the case now. I'm taking her home.
So. Well, you know she doesn't need to tell him, but she already got fired, so.
Yep, he doesn't know that, though. He don't know that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But that's also the...
Go ahead.
No, I was saying that's the thing I kind of, I found surprising about the scene. Sam really does seem sincere. And well, of course, he's also grieving with the, you know, the baby dying, but he also really just sincerely wants to seems like he wants to take care of Annalise at this point.
Yeah, I was about to say that too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so he didn't seem like as much of a asshole as he was later in their marriage.
Yeah.
Bonnie has been spying on the she has listening devices in the house, so she's able to hear Laurel and Frank talk about him killing Lila.
Yeah,
and so Bonnie confronts Frank about it, and then later in the episode, she goes to Frank's house and says, "I know Annalise didn't put you up to this. You did this for Sam."
Yeah.
And I'm like, duh, we've been known that. What we don't know is why.
I know. That's what I want to know. I really have to. See, the only thing I can put together is when Annalise went off on Frank when they were younger, 10 years ago, she mentions that you were white trash till Sam pulled you out.
Yeah.
Like, so what? How did Sam pull him out of, you know, quote unquote, white trash?
Does it have anything to do with all that money in that storage room?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so Frank basically confirms that Bonnie's right, but by saying, you know, she can never know.
Oh.
And then we cut to Laurel going to Annalise's house drunk.
Yes.
And spilling everything.
Yes.
So Annalise is like, oh, but it's time to get the fuck up out of here. And she goes home.
To where her mom.
Cicely Tyson.
Yay.
And Cicely says the name of this the episode. There's my baby. Oh. She come home.
Aww.
So we about to get some black ass acting next week.
Oh, I can't.
It's about to be good.
Because, that's the thing. And Annalise hits rock bottom. The first person she will go to is her mom. Because when it all came crashing down last season, mommy, I need you. And mommy came.
Yeah.
And it's like.
And now that she knows mommy is ride or die.
Yes.
Oh, it's about to be
on. That's what I'm like. Yeah. Now she knows what her mom is capable of on her behalf. This needs to go.
Cicely coming for that Emmy, y'all. You better give it to her this time. Also, she was on House of Cards this season.
Yeah.
She was basically the only person I liked.
Well, she was the only person you could like. I mean,
I can't stand none of them motherfuckers, but anyway.
I know. Mm. I mean, it's just like with her, she was the only person in the show I have ever seen who mentions that she has constituents to serve when she's talking.
Thank you.
Everybody else, I need to get reelected. I need to do this and this and this for me.
It's all about power grabs.
Yeah. She was the only one who said, this is the people. I'm not going to do this to the people that I serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. She is the only person you actually like in the show.
So, she coming for that Emmy.
Y'all better give Cicely Tyson this Emmy. Better nominate her for both shows.
Basically. Because you robbed her of the last one. Queer friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a lot. And I'm probably sure I forgot something.
I'm just wondering, though, when Annalise left, she seemed to be scared. Like, she panicked.
Well, Bonnie said somewhere in the episode, you know, whoever killed, she was telling Asher, you need to blame whoever killed Lila because they started it all.
And she was looking dead at Frank when she said that. Yep. And she looked dead ass at Frank. This is why I'm starting to like Bonnie. Bonnie's putting shit together and she's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she came to Annalise and was like, who is Wesley? Why are you going above and beyond for this little boy?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she is putting things together.
Yeah, she's trying to.
Yeah, so
she's trying to handle it. She seems to be still here for Annalise, though. All they went through, and she's still trying to protect Annalise.
Annalise got something, got a strong hold on all these people.
Yeah.
Fire the pum pum, but we ain't shit. But
we are not.
Shit, what was my point? You said that she was running like she was scared.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, maybe she was like, so now I got to protect Frank too? Maybe she has just reached her end.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we're going to find out hopefully next week. Hopefully we'll find out something and stop asking questions and get some answers.
answer us one thing and then give us three more questions. I'm like, this is not how this is supposed to work.
No. Goodness gracious. Answer me this. Why do you hate Michaela? When you gonna do right by Michaela?
Until you do right by Michaela. All you do is fail. All you do will fail.
Oh, sorry. All right. Okay. So that was our How to Get Away with Murder recap. Let us know your thoughts about the show. You know, what we forgot, what we got wrong. Hit us up, blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at blackgirlsquee. Check out Enda's live tweet of How to Get Away with Murder every Thursday night. And she also live tweets Sleepy Hollow on Fridays. So check that out on our Twitter feed, Black Girl Squee. All right, girl. Catch the fade. This is you. This is all you this time.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard about this, but girl, get it.
Okay, so you may or may not have heard about this incident that happened in Georgia. Well, there is a teacher there when a black female student, she's like a 16-year-old junior in high school, she asked him a question. Apparently, he gets a bit irritated with her and decides to go on a tirade berating her. And the gist of it is, he tells her that her purpose is to have sex and have children because she ain't never gonna be smart. A teacher said this to a student, and he called her dumb.
In 2016.
So, 2016. So, the girl's name is Shania Hunter. Yeah, she's a junior at Greene County High School, and said she was recording her lessons on her school-issued iPad. And she said the teacher got upset when she asked him a question, and said that he called her dumb, and then added that her purpose was to have sex and have children. And they do have the recording of this on the iPad, and said you can hear his voice saying, "I've been around for 37 years, and clearly you are the dumbest girl I've ever met. You know what your purpose is going to be? To have sex and have children, because you ain't never going to be smart." And, oh my God, this poor girl, you see her, she is just in tears on the news. I know her mom's trying to hug her and console her, and I'm like, how do you tell a 16-year-old child this? Look, if you have no patience for kids, or you know, you just don't know how to work with them, you have absolutely no business being in a damn classroom. You don't speak to kids that way. You especially don't speak to black kids that way. What the hell is wrong with you? In 2016. Called a student dumb in front of the entire class.
And basically said she was just a breeding wench. Like we're in the 1800s and black women are still in slavery or something. This is disgusting on a lot of different levels. Is. And I hope he has no job and no prospects. Because suspension is not going to do it.
I mean, because for some reason I still think right now at this point he still has a job, but he shouldn't. But not only does he not need to have a job, somebody needs to catch him on the street.
He definitely needs to catch the fade.
Yeah.
A few of them. I'm surprised. I wish he could have a few moments alone with his child's mama so she could throw hands on him.
Because
he needs his ass beat.
And some of the parents on my Twitter timeline, they were like, let this dude ever, let somebody say anything remotely like this to my child, y'all gonna be hearing about me on the news. And I'm like, yep.
Get the bail money now.
Yep.
Start the GoFundMe. Because I'm not stopping until
bust his head open to the white meat. Shout out to Bernie Mac. But, yeah. Someone needs to fuck this dude up.
Let him catch the fade. Let him catch hands. That was... I don't care what type of bad, stressful day you've been having. You do not talk to a child. You don't speak to a child that way. You just don't. Because 16, she is still a child. And then told us she was just supposed to have sex and have children. He sexualized that child.
That's the kind of racialized sexism that gives misogynoir its name. That is just... And you just starting it early. And it's bad enough that she had to hear it, but then you said it in front of all her classmates. Thank you. It's just several levels of fuck shit. What is this teacher's name?
I forgot. They don't mention it in the article that I had linked to, but somebody, they did. Yeah, but there's a Tumblr post going around. They have his information on it. Like, yeah, contact his school and, you know, get him fired. But I forgot to link that, though. But, yeah.
Well, whatever his name is, just...
Whatever his name is, fuck you.
You're probably not safe on the streets, dude. Anyway, that's a catch the fade for the ages. We probably don't, hopefully the next few segments will, get us out of that, bad place. Let's talk about Squee Queens.
Well, my first one may not be exactly the reason why I'm squeeing her. It may not be exactly happy squee, but I wanted to acknowledge her. Okay, so, well, my first Squee Queen is Kayla Phillips of Bleed the Pigs. Of course, we had Ocean Slumber Heavy Metal. Kayla Phillips is a heavy metal singer out of Nashville. And, of course, the group Bleed the Pigs, they are incredible. The reason why I'm squeeing for her is because she recently spoke out about a dude who sexually assaulted her. She made a Tumblr post about it, and she tells everybody that she, you know, he knows he did it. She has told him that he's done this, and he has acknowledged that he's done this. And she says she has given him 8 months to hold himself accountable, and he never did. And so he's actually kind of left them, you know, her group, in a really tight spot. But, you know, the reason why she is one of my Squee Queens is because she's speaking out about it. You know, she says, quote, "I'm done being quiet and I refuse to let him or anyone stop me from playing music in any band. I started Bleed the Pigs and I will finish it the way I intended. No cowardly boy will stop me from doing what I need to do, and no amount of pressure from he and his friends will keep me silent. It's his burden to finally carry." So, yeah. So, yes. Kayla Phillips, if you know anything about her, she's also very, very outspoken. She's very been talking about Black Lives Matter and things like this, and why we need, you know, anger and heavy metal and things like that for Black women, you know, within this age of Black Lives Matter. And so to hear her, you know, say that, you know, and talk about, you know, something horrible that's happened to her like that, and say, okay, this man is not gonna, you know, his name is David Hobbs, by the way. And she even put his Twitter handle at DVDHBBS. So you want to let him know about what a horrible person he is. I won't stop you, but she's 24 years old too, and I'm just like, you know what, I wish this girl all the best. You know, I love her group, I love her style, and I love what she's trying to do. And so I'm like, I really hate that this happened to her, but I'm glad that she feels comfortable and safe enough to speak up about it. You know, she says she gave him time to try to hold himself accountable, and he didn't. So she's going to make him, she's going to make him be accountable for this. So, yeah. Kayla, I love you, Kayla.
Good for
you. You're my girl. And you're from my home state. So, yeah.
Well, go ahead. And I've also got the next one, too.
Well, we mentioned earlier Fat Bad Broads podcast. Well, Hill Woodson, who was half of that podcast, also appeared in a story on The Lingerie Addict. And as she said, you can finally see me in underwear on the internet. I mean, look. Yes.
Looking good, we had the Body Brigade
with Ebony. Now we have Ariel here. And she's actually been kind of, she did like the Ebony cover, but she's also, you know, does point out that it is a certain body type that's only featured there. Well, there is Ariel in all her big girl glory, all her belly and all of that. And she is looking great in this lingerie. So, definitely just had to shout her out and be like, girl, you go. Yeah.
Work. Yes.
Work. Work, 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 work.
Oh, my God. And this is marked this moment in history.
But look at her. She's glorious.
And is actually singing. She's actually singing popular music.
Look, she's glorious. Look how glorious she is. I'm just happy.
See? Lord, I know you really would have been feeling something if you had sung some Beyonce.
Wait, what's what would be feeling? Wait, I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. Feel yourself, Ariel.
This is work. Oh, my God. Okay, this is amazing. All right, so to Kayla and Ariel, we give a huge squeeze. Yeah. Oh my gosh, girl, Ariel, you know you did something if you got this girl singing Beyonce. Ariel, yes. Kudos to you. You don't know. All right. This week in Dad Print, the segment everybody loves. We got to talk about this Chadwick. So the latest trailer for Captain America Civil War came out the other day. It's got way too much Robert Downey Jr. It's got a cameo from a character sick of seeing. But it's also got Black Panther. He didn't have any lines in the trailer because RDJ. But you did see him in the suit. And he did also do a BuzzFeed Q&A on Tumblr the other day. And by he, I'm speaking about Mr. Chadwick T'Challa Boseman, my husband, and Katrina Jackson gonna get mad at me when she hears this, but I don't care. He's an illustrious alumni
of
One Howard University. Like,
I didn't know that.
Bye, son.
Oh.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That's why we go together. Well, one of the reasons. He fine. There's some new pictures of him where, you know, he's in the suit and then he's out of the suit. And the look on his face looks like he's ready to smack his pussy. And I'm here for it.
See, now how you do me. That was at Dust Daughter.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yes, it was, Chadwick. At Dust, D-U-S-T-D-A-U-G-H-T-E-R. I see you, Chadwick. But he was looking good with the tea. He was with the hair and the eyes and the lips. He was looking so good, and that look on his face, like he ready to tear something up. And he was doing things to me, and I had to change my Twitter Abby and my header.
I did,
because I was moved. So y'all, I used to be Pensacola Shakes. Now I'm hashtag Team T'Challa. Recognize.
Man.
Chadwick, that suit, you looking good in that tight ass suit. I'm sorry it's not comfortable, but you're feeling it out, baby. You're feeling it out. And the answers that he gave during this Q&A, I really feel like he's just all up in this part. He really seems to get T'Challa. And I can't wait. I can't wait for his movie. I can't wait. But until then, I have to make do with the scraps that we get in Civil War. Hopefully there'll be some time for his story. But everybody and his mama is up in this movie. And I just don't know anymore, but we shall see. But Chadwick, I am here for you. You and all that you are.
Nobody in my timeline cares about anything else except Black Panther.
As well they should. I mean, other people are all about the Stucky of it all. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
it's about Chadwick and T'Challa. And also, another Howardite is going to be writing the comic.
Really?
Ta-Nehisi Coates is going to be writing Black Panther comic. Yeah.
So,
we representing. Yeah, we in here. We in here. My son, you know. Anyway, had to get that out. But Chadwick, marry me. And let me let you move on to this next person before I turn this podcast X-rated.
Okay, so for my This Week in Netprint pick, this is a bit of a surprise, but it's not for the reason you think, but it is.
Also, this is all Enda's. No. This is not mine. Mine was Chadwick. Editor's note. Thank
Mine
you.
Is actually Matt McGorry. No, there is a specific reason for this. This dude has just lived Jack Falahees in African Extreme because he got the sex scene with Agent Naomi King. So by that proxy alone, I am giving him a high five because I'm like, Matt, congratulations, you lucked out. And it's but it's like the whole scene, I'm like, hold up, did he reach under her skirt and pull her panties down? Did he really do that? And then,
oh my god,
yes,
he turned her around, so he had that,
and
that
then he smacked it
in his face.
He smacked her on the ass.
How can you resist?
That is why he gets DWIDP for me. Because look, I'm sorry, but all of the co-stars, Jack Falahee, Alfred Enoch, him, and I'm even saying the girl who plays Laura. Yeah.
Carlos.
They are all checking for Adrian. They are all checking for her. We were in our chat like, do you think that they all have a petition to each have a scene with her? I'm like, the girl who plays Laura, Cara Susan, she's already turned in her paperwork. I'm sorry, but they all are. I'm like, that is the whole thing. That's why I'm convinced that is why that whole thing with they were talking about the orgy thing. I'm convinced that's why that happened with Connor being like, she's like, we should have an orgy. And Michaela, She's like, oh, are you going to be the one to help me with that? And he's like, I'm willing to give it a try. And what does Laura pipe up and say? Back off, she's mine. I'm like, see, she's that's mine. How they all mm-hmm. actually feel. They weren't acting right there.
Yep.
So this is why Matt McGorry went to like, you lived the dream. And I'm giving you a virtual high five just for that.
I would do it. I'd give him a high five just to smack the hand that smacked her ass.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I just hope he okayed that with her before filming. I got a feeling he probably did, though. Otherwise, he would be in a different segment. I'll catch the fade.
I'm hoping with him, especially because I know he has fucked up recently, but with him, especially with him claiming feminism and, you know, being, you know, woke, quote unquote, that he would know to, you know, clear that with her first. Even though they are acting, he was still like, okay, is this okay?
Yeah.
So. So, Matt, you the man this week. You live the dream. I can't even be mad. You're mad because it wasn't you.
Part of it is, yeah.
Yeah, I can understand.
Part of it's jealousy, yes. All right, so just note. All right, so God damn it, you gonna make me look up pictures of him?
Try to find a still. You just have to have that one still from the show. That's all you need.
So then I have to watch that scene again.
You don't have to watch it. You have to find a still. Believe me, somebody has gifted already. I'm pretty sure somebody has gifted already. Come on now.
Quick. Oh God, I don't want to see that scene again. Anyway,
Woman's
vocab.
Okay. Oh, this is appropriate. Woman's vocab today is agency. Agency simply means the degree of control one has when it comes to making decisions and acting in the world. Agency is not strictly about personal decisions, but about navigating through cultural and social power structures. A person with agency is allowed to act for their own reasons. Agency.
Thank you for that. Black Girl Commandments. I'm at a loss. I've run out of words. Don't let Matt McGorry smack you on the ass. Big girls need love too. Thou shalt give the girls the love,
support they deserve.
Yeah, and appreciate the beauty of big girls and big black girls and them thighs. And oh my God, let me just stop in the show. That black commandment could go a lot of ways. You can contact us at Black Girl Squee. When we're not going off on tangents. Inda is at Inda's Corner. And you can talk to her about Matt McGorry because I don't want to hear it. I am at Dust Daughter, and that is for you, Chadwick. Hit up my DMs for my phone number. Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And we'll also have the link to our iTunes in the show notes. So, on behalf of Inda and myself, thank you so much for your feedback. We hope you continue to enjoy the show.
Bye.
And bye.